prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is August 6, 2020. We're going to be talking about the bodybuilding diet. This is a diet that really originated over 100 years ago amongst the fathers of physical culture. And it remains the best way to diet for repartitioning your body. And I mean by building muscle and losing body fat. And we're going to investigate it today because fad diets come and go. Every year there's a new train that people get on for diets. But this diet has stuck around, and it always does what it's promised to do. We're going to explore that with Bill Tocco in just a minute, who is works with a lot of professional athletes and getting their diets dialed in. Before we do that, we have to, of course, thank my title sponsor, and that's Legendary Foods. If you're a low-carb guy, keto guy or gal, you have to go to Legendary Foods, eatlegendary.com. Use the code SHR10, save 10% off. Check out their tasty pastry. It's basically a Pop-Tart. It looks like a Pop-Tart. Actually tastes better than a Pop-Tart. It has less than 1 gram of sugar, less than 3 to 4 impact carbs, and 9 grams of high-quality, high-leucine protein. They have great nut butters, seasoned almonds. The stuff there is worthy of your dollars. Check them out. Go to eatlegendary.com. SHR10 helps you not only save 10% off, but lets them know that you learned about them here on Superhuman Radio, and we appreciate your support. And now, without further delay, how you doing, Bill Tocco?
I'm good. Actually, Carl, it's the long O. It's Tocco.
Tocco. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank That's you. Okay. Thank you for correcting.
Just a little plug, too, for Legendary Foods. Those Pop-Tarts are amazing. I happen to like the strawberry ones the most. They're great.
Yeah. I had Shannon Penna on the show not too long ago. She's doing a cooking segment with us now. You know, she invented the Quest Bar. And while she didn't invent the Pop-Tart, Ron, her husband, actually did. She's behind all their nut butters. Their nut butters are amazing. They taste like they're loaded with sugar, but they're really not. And they are every bit of a dessert. I like to just take a spoonful of them and eat them at the end of a meal to kind of punctuate the meal for myself. They have great products. They really, really do. So let's talk about the bodybuilding diet and its legacy. I first really learned about the bodybuilding diet in 2006 from Randy Roach when he wrote his book, Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, Volume 1. Volume 1 specifically was designed to convey to people the nutritional legacy that was given to people through the early fathers of physical culture. Jack LaLanne, Armand Tanney, Rio Blair, Vince Gironda. I mean, people still Google the Vince Gironda diet. We're really talking about that diet when we talk here today. This is not only a bodybuilding diet, but in reality, as you like to refer to it, it's the low inflammation diet. Given the fact that inflammation is at the root of every disease, everybody should be eating this way, right?
Yeah. I mean, going back to Vince Gironda and, all those older guys that were around, that diet seemed to really stand the test of time. And over, when you go back to that diet, it seems to work for the majority of people, even if they're not bodybuilding. If they just want to, if they're just regular people, I have a lot of people that I work with that don't have anything to do with any kind of fitness competitions, but want to lose a little bit of weight and stay in shape. And, having those intervals where you're eating every 2.5 to 3 hours, things of that nature, having lower carbohydrates, moderate fats with high protein, creating that environment where it's low inflammation, not only is it healthy for you, but it seems every time you go back to that, when these fad diets come in and out, it really works well for almost everybody.
You know what's really funny? I got in my best shape and my strongest eating this way. But then intermittent fasting, I did my first show on intermittent fasting around 2007, I think, or 2008 with Dr. Mark McCarty when they looked at rodents and then people. And I thought, well, maybe this is the way to go and it's more convenient. You know, I don't have to prep my meals. And the reality is I've been intermittent fasting for 10 years and I've done nothing but lose muscle gradually from year in and year out. I know that you've seen pictures of me recently, and it's disgusting. When you look at the pictures of me at 50 and now at 60, there's a dramatic difference in the amount of muscle that I carry now. And I attribute it to the fact that I have been a devotee of basically what is considered the starvation diet, in my humble opinion. You're really starving yourself. Your body is getting a signal every single day that food is not in abundance because you're going for long periods of time without eating. Now, granted, there's some evidence that this may have some a positive effects in aging, but I'm not convinced that if you're losing muscle, that's a good thing for aging. What do you think?
You know what? I think that some studies, I know that you know this, have shown that when you fast, you know, you can have higher outputs of IGF-1. But then my argument is, have you seen Gandhi was always fasting? He wasn't huge. So some people make that argument, well, I don't want to get my growth hormone levels up and things of that nature. Now, there has been some good evidence that it is good for life extension and aging. But as far as keeping muscle, like you were talking about, over the long haul as you age, and like on your show, I've listened to your show. I don't want to deviate too much, but I've been listening to the show for about 10 years now. So I've listened to a lot of your shows, and I remember you used to talk about women as they age, especially when they get up towards 70, if they don't do any kind of resistance training, they become unable to maybe get up out of a chair. And I think that is part of it too. If you don't have enough protein to build that muscle tissue and to, number one, carry a positive nitrogen balance, and you have basically a skinny fat frame and you're not ambulatory, able to move, you're going to have some issues. So I think you're exactly right by saying losing muscle is probably not a good idea. No. Overall, I would say no.
No, and strength equates to longevity and health span. We know that now. There's numerous studies that prove that. I always believed that. When I first started doing this show for the first 3 years, I would close every show by saying muscle is metabolic currency. Get into the gym and make a deposit today. The same way you save money, you need to save or gain muscle.
Right.
That's playing out in science. So let's start off with this topic first. Since we're talking about meal frequency, I believe that you can still do the bodybuilding diet and still stop eating at a reasonable time at night to where autophagy and the anti-aging benefits of time-restricted feeding can take effect. You don't need 16, 18 hours. You need 10 to 12 hours, and that's probably the sweet spot. So let's talk about the magic of meal frequency. One of the things that the bodybuilding diet focuses on is something that was called about 20 years ago the fed state, meaning that when the body is having lots of small meals all day long, it conveys the sense of abundance, and the body goes, I don't need to store fat. We get all the food we want. We never miss a meal. Everything is great, as opposed to turning ghrelin on, which we know ghrelin agonists actually cause a greater deposition of body fat. If you're using high doses of GHRP6, you're going to start noticing you're storing the body fat more. And so we know that when the body is starving, from an evolutionary perspective, it says we need to have fat. This guy may not be able to, or this gal may not be able to get food in a day or two. But when you're having those 5 or 6 small meals a day, aside from the fact that insulin stays nice and stable throughout the day, the body also feels secure so it can give up body fat, right?
Yes, I agree with that in many ways. Also, another caveat to that is when you're eating in these frequent time slots and your body starts to get adjusted to that, I believe, and I've seen evidence anecdotally throughout many people I work with and myself doing it on myself, is that your metabolism seems to definitely be on an uptick when you're eating in those intervals because you're not going a long period. So when you go a long period, your body is like, whoa, let's slow everything down because it might be hitting a time where you can't go out of your cave and chase down a bison or whatever the case may be and get that next meal. Now, when you talk about ghrelin, for the people that don't know out there, when this hormone is released at ghrelin, you get very hungry and you get that growling in your stomach. I know a guy, tell me if this sounds familiar, that was taking this peptide GHRP6 that you referred to. It makes the ghrelin response almost uncontrollable and you get so hungry. This guy actually went over to his refrigerator and opened up a jar of brewer's yeast and was eating it.
You're talking about me.
By this point, I'm talking about you. Now, how long ago was that on your show?
Oh, my God. That was 2008, I think, I talked about that.
Yeah, so, like I said, I've been listening to the show for a while.
I did. I took 250 micrograms of GHRP6. I got so hungry that I had raw unpasteurized milk and cream. I was drinking that. And then all of a sudden, I had brewer's yeast that I used to use in my shakes. I took a spoon and I started eating it, and it tasted so good. I thought to myself, "Man, I wonder if I could make a brewer's yeast based candy for kids." That is how insane your mind goes when you
because it doesn't taste good. Let me tell you,
no, it tastes like crap.
No,
but ghrelin will do that.
Liver tab.
yeah. But ghrelin does that to you, and also programs the body to store fat because it assumes you're starving.
Yeah.
So. How many meals a day do you think are necessary to actually affect that fed state quality of a diet where the body goes, wow, we eat so regularly, we really don't have to worry about starving today?
I really like to say the sweet spot for most people, even if they're not bodybuilding, would be somewhere around 5 meals. Mm-hmm. Now, when I have other people that can handle more food, I give them 6 and I give them 7 meals. Now, that's all really always based dependent on the individual with their metabolism, how they can digest food, and how they feel throughout the day. So it kind of varies, but I'd say 5 is a good sweet spot, even for women, too.
And 5 is easy to do. People go, oh, 5 meals. No, you have 3 meals, and you have 2 maybe high-protein snacks, high-protein shakes. You just drink it and be done with it.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly right there.
Okay, so what is the ideal duration between meals? So if we're looking at our schedule and we want to do 5 meals, like for a while there following the diet, I was up to 6 meals a day. I was eating every 2 and a half hours and staying within my eating window of stopping at 6 p.m.
I think that's going to depend on how many meals you're doing in a day. If you're doing 7, then I think 2 and a half, maybe even slightly shorter than that, is good, so you can get all those meals in and then still obviously have that cutoff to where you get the benefits of having a small fast before bed, a fast while you're sleeping, and then possibly a little bit of a fast if you're getting up too early to do fasted cardio or whatnot, and you get both kind of ends of the spectrum there. You get both benefits that way.
So let's talk about macros now. One of the things that the bodybuilding diet focuses on is what would be considered juxtaposed to the traditional RDA type approach to diet, a very high protein diet. Generally around 50% of your calories are coming from protein, correct?
Yes. I would say mostly what I usually do with I would say at the bare minimum for someone that's active and that wants to basically protect the muscle tissue that they already have on their frame, I would say you got to start with not so much a percentage, but I would say 1 gram of quality protein per pound of body weight, lean body weight, okay? If you're a heart training bodybuilder and you're looking to put on size, I would say I would go between 1.2 to 1.5 grams per pound of body weight, and in some cases, 2 grams. So I kind of do it more in on a gram basis, in a formula per their weight, more so than like a percentage. That's kind of how I usually do it, and that seems to work well for me.
So you start there, and then you back the other two macros into it. Where does protein, where does carbohydrates, where does fat fall in those ratios?
Okay, usually what I always tell people first is when I get someone new that maybe doesn't know too much about bodybuilding or that kind of a lifestyle diet, I always tell them first we're going to start with the protein because we want to protect that muscle tissue that you have currently on your body. So I tell them, just like you said, it's like putting money in the bank every day with the training. Well, if you're getting your protein numbers in every day, at least you know you're not going to arbitrarily burn muscle tissue as a fuel source. You're going to be covered and you're protected there. So you start with the protein. Then with carbohydrates and fat, it's really, I've seen people that when I take all their carbs away, believe it or not, they don't lose body fat. And then I have other people when I give them a very, very minimal carbs and then higher fats, they tend to lose body fat. So really I start somewhere in the middle on the carbs and fat, and I start going either backwards or forwards depending on how the person reacts to it. There's not really a one-size-fits-all when it comes to this,
And you know what? That's funny because we have learned that medicine is not a one-size-fits-all. But yet we think diet is going to be a one size fits all. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And you know, and a small thing to that too, while you're on the subject saying medicine isn't a one size fits all, training really isn't a one size fits all either. Like Mike Mentzer, great guy, you know, him and his brother Ray, they had their own ideas and some of their principles are awesome, but they really believe that, you know, that everybody was going to benefit from doing one all-out set. That sometimes, for some people, that is not enough volume. One all-out set after a couple warm-ups. And they believed in saying, well, if this doesn't work for everybody, then how do people dispense medicine? So it's kind of
and
like...
And now we have the answer to that. Now we have the answer to that.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, what you're saying holds true a little bit more than what the Mentzers were talking about, even though I really respect them and I use a lot of their principles in training.
So Jeff Clifton, absolutely the answer is, so Jeff Clifton is asking, will eating every couple of hours and then fasting for 12 hours still switch up mTOR? Absolutely. Because
I believe so.
In fact, it may actually switch up mTOR even to a greater degree. And here's why. Because if your body is used to getting food every 2 hours, you're having that protein pulse that Lane Norton, before he was a doctor, they figured out in Dr. Dan Lehman's lab up in Chicago that, you know, the pulse is very important. Having continuous mTOR turned on actually becomes counterproductive for building muscle. The body likes that rhythmicity. Well, then it's getting that rhythmicity all day long where mTOR is turning on, AMPK is turning on. Then all of a sudden you don't eat for 12 hours. AMPK turns on, mTOR turns off, but you don't lose muscle because I did that show that shows that basal autophagy stimulates protein synthesis when you start eating again the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, absolutely. And this is where I am falling now. I am going back to a more traditional bodybuilding diet where I'm eating every two and a half hours during my eating window of, say, 6A to 6P. And then after that, I'm not eating again until the next day. And I predict that I will build muscle, I'll regain muscle, but I still maintain the important anti-aging aspects I want from time-restricted feeding. So absolutely, absolutely.
Good question.
Okay, so how do you calculate calories typically? I know there's a lot of people, and again, I don't expect you to give a one-size-fits-all because we just dispel that there is one-size-fits-all.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody's trying to dial in, they're trying to lose body fat, is there a way to go, well, pounds times X equals the number of calories you should start at and then look at what's happening over the course of a couple of weeks and either dial it up or dial it back?
Well, you know what, Carl? I do that kind of, but I really don't ever – me personally, the way I've been doing my calculations for coaching and on myself is I always just really do it based on the macros, and then like whatever the calories, I can always figure out what the calories are, but I start with the amount of protein that person should be eating, and then the like we were talking previous, the carbs and fats, I kind of work those out. So I don't really go by a formula as far as the overall calories, because I think calories aren't really the most important thing. I think manipulating each macronutrient counterpart is the way to go, at least what I've seen and what I work with. And varying those three parts of the equation instead of just saying, oh, overall calories. Because we can always get into the argument of people saying, well, it's calories in, calorie out, kind of argument. And my rebuttal to that is, let's say if we took two human beings and they're both twins, identical DNA and everything, identical metabolisms. And this guy over here is telling me, and I've had this argument or discussion where, oh, it's just calories in, calories out. And I say, well, you take this twin and you diet them, and you know, we'll do it maybe for 12 weeks. I'll take this one. You can go ahead and feed them your gummy bears, 2,000 calories, and I'm going to feed them 2,000 calories of filet mignon and, say, rice or baked potato. Who's going to have a better body composition? Who's going to have more of insulin stability throughout the day, not only to have energy but to be in a state where you're losing body fat and gaining muscle? I think the person I'm working with is going to be coming out on top in that regard.
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, this is the discussion is hard because people want to be told what to do. And you can't really tell people what to do when it comes to diet because everyone's different and they're different at different ages and they're also different based on the level of stress in their lives and so on. I've got lots more questions, and we're getting lots of questions from the viewers. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up on the other side. We're talking about the bodybuilding diet today, and we're talking with Bill Toko. I want to give you his information about his website. His website is warroomnutrition.com, all one word, warroomnutrition.com. His Instagram is at warroomnutrition. He has some amazing athletes. When you look at them, you realize that they are getting amazing guidance on their diet. Because let me tell you something. I realize now at this stage of the game, I still carry a considerable amount of muscle at my age. And if I got lean, I would look great. That's the only difference. If I got lean, I'd look great. But because I'm not lean right now, I'm all covered up by subcutaneous fat, I don't look great. So it really comes down to diet. The body you're searching for is under there. It's there right now. But chiseling away what's covering it up takes the right type of nutritional approach. And you can learn by going to warroomnutrition.com and learning more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. If you suffer from digestive issues like gas, bloating, cramping, even when you're eating healthy, nutritious foods, then you could probably benefit from a high-quality enzyme. As you know, I'm a mega fan of Bioptimizers. They're one of the few supplement companies who I use religiously because their products work. I asked them for a great deal for my listeners, and they over-delivered. Right now, you can get a bottle of Masszyme for free. All you need to do is pay a small shipping fee, and there's no catch, no tricks, no forced continuity, nothing to cancel. They're so confident in their product that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. I'm positive you'll love the results. I strongly suggest you head over to their site to grab your free bottle before this offer runs out. Go to masszymes.com/SHR free. That's masszymes.com/SHRFREE, all one word. You will automatically get access to your unique coupon code to claim your free bottle, and there's a limit, one per household. Are you still on the fence about Body Protection Complex BPC Oral from DrSeeds.com? Listen to Maggie Kuhn, one of the owners of the C-Bus Lifting Company gym in Columbus, Ohio.
I had been having some nagging tendon issues that weren't injuries, just things that were annoying. You know, I'm 58 years old, so it's just older tendon kind of issues. For us powerlifters, you know, we really don't stop training when we have just nagging issues. We just kind of keep pushing through. And I started the BPC. What I noticed was I was doing some heavy tricep stuff that would have killed me before when I had an elbow problem, and I was able to do this with literally no pain at all.
Go to DrSeeds.com, DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your bottle of BPC Body Protection Complex today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at EatLegendary.com and Amazon. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the healthier alternative to sugar-laden beef jerky. Their sugar-free biltong is seasoned and then air-dried for up to 2 weeks, providing you with one of the most tender and flavorful meat snacks that you've ever had. They also use a fattier cut of beef, which adds to the tenderness and gives their biltong even better flavor. Select Savory Snacks Original Biltong is the perfect snack or travel companion for your busy life. Get a free bottle of Ranch-tastic seasoning with every order. Free shipping on orders of $99 or more. Get yours today at selectsavorysnacks.com/SHR.
Quest Nutrition makes bars, cookies, chips, and pizzas out of complete dairy-based proteins. Our products minimize net carbs and sugar without sacrificing taste. Each delicious chocolate-flavored chip, cookie chunk, and crunchy crumble is custom-made to maintain Quest macros. It's time to enjoy foods that work for you, not against you. It's time to enjoy your Quest.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Bill Tocco. He is a marvelous guy who works with athletes and dials in their diet so that they can achieve the physical goals, whether that be competing or just to look like somebody who could get up on stage. And we all want to look like that. The only people who don't want to look like that are the people who don't think it's possible. So it's a form of cognitive dissonance. Oh, I would never want to look like that. But that's just not true. Deep down inside, everybody wants to look ripped and lean and healthy. So let's talk a little bit about, real quick, I'm changing things up in the direction we're talking, but since we're talking about macros and stuff, when we look at the bodybuilders of yesteryear, aside from the level of drug use, what we also notice is that there was a complete lack of distended stomach. In fact, there was a pose back in the day called the vacuum pose, which very few bodybuilders could do today, where the athlete would, after dieting and prepping to get on stage, would be completely empty, and he would suck, or she would suck their stomach in where it was actually concave. And compare that to today's bodybuilder who has a completely distended stomach. Gustavo Bedell comes to mind, where he looked like he was wearing a tortoise shell when he was on the Olympia stage. I seem to think that that's because carbohydrate consumption has quadrupled in modern bodybuilders compared to those guys back then, like Vince Gironda, who was saying, you know, low carb. I think Vince said under 120 grams a day in carbs, and it was all complex. It wasn't, you know, sugars and stuff like that. What do you think about carbohydrates? They're obviously important, but are people consuming way too much today?
I think as far as saying the bodybuilders looking distended, I think it's an overconsumption of carbohydrates. Not only in the off season stretching their stomachs inward, or I mean outward from the inside, but I think when they're doing their last week of prep, a lot of people tend to now want to be full. And I think that's really not just only their, it's not really their fault. I think that's what the judging has kind of leaned towards now, is a real, real full round look, where in, say, in the 90s, it was a little bit more on the crisper side. And they were going more for a grainy, hard, crazy conditioning without being too full, but just to that point to where you still have that grainy conditioning where you can still do a vacuum pose on a frontal bicep, say, for instance. I think that's where it's a little bit different now, is they're really, really over-carbing, but I don't really think it's as much fault of the athlete as it is the judging. The judging plays a big role in that, because they're good. The people are up there on stage are going to do what the judges are kind of looking for. So that's my take on it.
This is a great time to inject this question from Jeff Clifton. He says, I just had my genoplate report done. They used my 23andMe, and it said that he needs 60% carbs, 25% protein, and 15% fats. After listening to carbs getting vilified, I have no idea what to try. So I think that taking guidance for both, I mean, short of being MTHFR, not having the methylation gene for certain B vitamins, I think taking advice from genetic testing for how you should eat and what you should supplement is a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake. Because you have to remember, through evolution, the reason we are here today and we are considered top of the food chain is because we were able to survive on just about anything. I mean, short of eating wood like a termite, we were opportunistic. If we found animals, we ate that. If we found plants, we ate that. If we found mushrooms, we ate that. So this notion that there's the perfect human diet is a very, very difficult proposition, in my humble opinion. With that being said, how could we need 60% carbohydrates in the wintertime? Remember, all carbohydrates are plants. All of them. Name me an animal carbohydrate.
Well, there isn't one.
Right. So how did we eat our perfect diet in the wintertime?
Correct.
I mean, so this, I think this is, Jeff, I think it's a waste of time having them dictate that. I think it's nonsense. I think that they're folding in there that protein has been vilified more than carbohydrates in mainstream medicine today. I think it's complete BS. Complete BS.
And I think, Carl, to add to that, too, it's like I've seen so many things that look great in a study, and I love to read studies, and I love when a new supplement comes out or a training, some training aspect, and you see all these great data from the study. But then, you know, a lot of these guys that come up with the studies and do the research, they're really not in the field implementing this stuff and trying it themselves. When we get a hold of it and we implement it in the field, sometimes it doesn't translate, even though the data is looking solid in the study. Right. And it's not always transferable into the field, and you're not always going to get the same result as you do with the study. That's just inevitable.
No, I agree with you 100%. So let's talk about a couple other things now. Let's talk about – everybody says the diet that works best for you is the one that you'll stick with. And that's obviously true, because if you do a diet that works for you but you only stick with it for 2 weeks, you're not going to see any changes. And people are very impatient. They want results now. So they hop from thing to thing before they find out what they're doing, if it's working or not. What about the mental aspect of dieting? That has to play a huge role in the success of clients of yours or people in general.
I think the mental aspect is an enormous factor, because when someone has never really felt uncomfortable before due to a diet, they really have a feeling of it's a very foreign feeling to them, and they really don't know what to do because they haven't been in that situation. Now, that can be, there can be so many factors, because they've always been very full and eating, you know, things that really fill them up, a lot of carbs, lots of sugars and things like that. And also there can be things from their childhood where they have grown up really comfortably. That might sound weird, but there's people I know that grew up very comfortable, and so when they're uncomfortable, I mean, they're a completely different person. So there can be many aspects that make someone feel those feelings, but when you diet, the mental aspect is very, very large. Now, when you're dieting for a competition, a lot of people diet, but they really never achieve that peeled conditioning, because they're not really willing to go past that line, that thin line where people, when you cross that line, and you're in a whole completely different realm. You feel like you're basically being tortured most of the day. There's times when you feel okay, and then there's times where you feel terrible the whole day. That's when you get extremely low body fat levels, to where most people have never, they've never been there. So they don't know what to think of that feeling, and they really don't like it. That's why a lot of people, when they go into a competition, they don't get that success of getting that crazy conditioning, because they're not willing to go into that space. And that space isn't a friendly place to be. But if you do have the mental application to go there, and you go completely through it, and you're in the best condition of your life, and you know that when you enter a show, you're going to be, you know, one of maybe two or three people that you're in the best condition out of anybody, you can look back at that and feel so fulfilled and rewarding. But it's not fun to get there. And people only see the end result. They see the pictures on Instagram. They see your stage pictures. They don't understand what suffering you went through to get to that stage, walking through hell. They just don't know it.
And it has to be suffering, because from an evolutionary perspective, you're going into a realm that your body doesn't want to go to. Because remember, we are programmed to consume energy and conserve energy. Dr. Daniel Lieberman came on my show. He's the author of The Story of the Human Body. He's a Harvard anthropology professor. Guy's brilliant. And he said, Carl, if there's two coconut trees and you have a hunter-gatherer population and you put an escalator in front of the coconut tree on the left, they'll start taking the escalator. They're not going to keep climbing, because we are programmed to consume energy and conserve energy. And that's why obesity is a bigger problem today than starvation, which it was in the 20s and early 1900s and so on. People were underweight. But with that being said, you're right. I think I can share a story that Porter Cottrell told me one time when he was getting ready for an Olympia competition. And he had cut his fat back so far because he was trying to get peeled. And he went in to train legs one day, and he did his first set of warm-up squats, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just broke out crying. And he didn't know what was going on. He was like, he got so emotional. He ended up not training. He ended up going home. And he had the craving, I think it was for olive oil, he said. He took like a couple tablespoons of olive oil, and in 10 minutes, he felt amazing. And so, you know, these are evolutionary safety nets in our body. Like when your fat level gets too low, your body doesn't want that. It's like, hey, man, we may have to defend ourselves. We have to hole up in a cave for you know, and people are laughing right now. I go, oh, come on, Carl. Listen, we spent millions of years in that world, and now we've spent 40,000 years in this. It's like a sliver of time compared to the millions. So we are ancestral creatures in a modern world. And so the body is designed to protect those things. And as you point out, it's painful. Look, women lose their period when they get ready for a competition. You know why? Because the body's going, holy crap, you're going to starve to death. You can't get pregnant. We're shutting that machinery off. And they just lose their period. That's called amenorrhea. So it's very extreme. And quite frankly, it's probably the most extreme sport in the world is bodybuilding. Because there's no off season. You actually train harder in the off season. And it's torturous getting ready to get up on stage if you're going to be a competitor today.
I agree with that.
So the mental aspect is a big thing, obviously. Let's see. Robertson says, distended stomachs have nothing to do with carbohydrates and everything to do with GH and insulin consumption. I don't believe that, Rob, because Lee Priest never had a distended stomach, and he used growth hormone. So I don't believe that. The growth hormone only explains a small amount of the organ growth that we see, especially in the intestines. Dr. Mauro Di Pasquale came on my show years ago, and we talked about that premise. I don't believe it, and I'll prove it to you right now. Look at the American population. Look at the population in most countries. Everybody's got a distended stomach. They're not all using growth hormone and insulin. It's carbohydrate consumption. Absolutely. And I will defend that. I will defend that because you just have to look at the general population today. There are guys out there that are relatively lean. They look like they're 6 months pregnant. They're not using growth hormone. They're not using insulin. They're just average schmucks getting through the day. So the stomach distension goes way, way beyond the bodybuilding world. It's just more profound in the bodybuilding world because today's bodybuilder is eating 500, 600, 700 grams of carbohydrates on top of the protein that he's eating. Back in the day, guys like Gironda, 120 grams of carbohydrates is all they were eating to build those physiques. So I would respectfully disagree with that assertion, Rob. What do you think? Do you want to chime in on that?
I know that we had talked kind of off air about the whole distension and everything, and I personally think it's over carbohydrates, you know, both off season and going into the show. So I think, and again, I do put some of the onus on the judging because I want to see everybody so full and everybody's just trying to eat so many grams of carbs to, you know, get that full look the last two, three days before the show. And a lot of times you'll get that distension. They don't have it before that. They seem to have it just on that day. So I kind of think it's carbohydrates.
Why not glycerin? Glycerin is an amazing thing in boxing and MMA fighting. Guys have to make weight. They'll sit in the hot box for days. They'll lose all this water. They look flat. They get on the scale. They pass. They start taking tablespoons of glycerin and water, and they start drinking it, and overnight they'll put on 4 or 5 pounds, and it's all muscle water weight. Why not? Why aren't bodybuilders using glycerin, or are they?
Well, I know that it's been popular a couple years ago in some of the pre-workout formulas, more as kind of like a pump product to get that water shuttled into the muscle. But that would be interesting carving up with that. I've never done any experiments myself, but I know in MMA also, once they make weight, they're also using an IV afterwards too to rehydrate. So. I'm not sure if there's a glycerol solution in there. I'm not privy to what's in there, but I know most of them, after they make weight, they're running an IV back at the hotel room.
You know, I'm not a big bodybuilding aficionado, but I want to say, and I'll stand to be corrected, that Kevin English, when the 132 class first came out, and he took it that first year.
202, I believe. 202, or was it
yeah,
20,
I'm sorry. Yes, 202, you're right.
Became the 202 after the 212.
He did that. I heard... from Aaron Singerman, I think it was, that told me this, that Kevin English did that. He dropped a lot of weight to make the class, and then all he did was use glycerin and water for like the next day or so, and he stepped on stage like 15 pounds heavier than he weighed in the day before.
Yeah. That guy always looked so much bigger than his weight, too.
I know. Crazy. I know. Yeah, he had a very appealing physique. He had a very appealing physique. So let's see here. We have a couple of things that I wanted. So how about tips and tricks, right? So the real big problem with dieting is the momentary, you know, people will take a cheat meal and make it a cheat day, or they just can't stand it. They have to eat something that they know that they shouldn't be eating, and it's going to be counterproductive. Do you have any tips or tricks to help people get past those moments?
There's little things. I mean, obviously, this isn't going to really last too long, but it's one trick that can get you by, at least, is to drink a little bit more fluids to make you feel fuller. Mm-hmm. Another thing, get an ice tray. I like to put water in there with a little bit of stevia, but always making sure it's stevia extract, not stevia that has something added to it, because sometimes you can get stevia where something is added to it, like dextrose or maltodextrin. You got to really watch that labeling.
Yeah.
And put a little bit of that in there with some lemon juice or without lemon juice, either way, and freeze those and make little popsicles, which are basically not going to do anything with your insulin. And everybody knows that a lot of people refer to me as a sugar Nazi because I'm always very anti-sugar, low inflammation, keep the insulin stable, especially if you're trying to lose body fat. You got to have that going for you. So that's one of the tricks I like.
I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you about a couple things, dairy and alcohol specifically, and where you fall on these. We're talking right now with Bill Toko. His website is warroomnutrition.com. You can find him on Instagram at warroomnutrition. If you go to his Instagram page, you're going to see some of the most ripped, most appealing physiques that you've ever seen, and they would not be visible if it were not for his success in dialing in their diets. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed.
Chronic stress leaves us tired, distracted, and physically vulnerable. Apollo Neuro is here to help you take control. Apollo Neuro is a new wearable that trains your nervous system to be more resilient to stress. Apollo's gentle vibrations use your sense of touch to help you recover from stress, going from fight or flight to rest and digest so you can relax, get to sleep, focus, and stay healthy. Developed by physicians and neuroscientists, Apollo Neuro has been tested in multiple clinical trials and is proven to improve heart rate variability, the key biometric of stress. Special offer for friends of Superhuman Radio. Try Apollo Neuro today and get 15% off your purchase at apolloneuro.com/superhuman. That's apolloneuro.com/superhuman. Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it, you'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off.
I love beef. And if you love beef, listen up. I've discovered the best tasting beef in the world, and that's not an exaggeration, at Piedmontese.com. The Piedmontese breed is famous from Italy for being lean and unbelievably tender with half the fat and calories of traditional beef. Even typically tough cuts are tender when it comes from the Piedmontese cows. And for the first time ever, Piedmontese cows are being raised here in the USA. Get 2 free 10-ounce New York strips when you purchase $50 or more at Piedmontese.com with code SHR. Go to Piedmontese.com. SHRTV.com and use code SHR today. You will never eat any other type of beef ever again.
Over 11 million people in the U.S. have some form of retinal damage, also known as macular degeneration. This is expected to double to nearly 22 million by 2050. Artificial blue light, age, type 2 diabetes are all contributors. Doctors say there's no cure. ARMD is changing that opinion. In one clinical trial, 93% of patients had arrested or improved their condition. 54% reported lessening of glare, reduced dryness, and improved clarity and comfort. And 0% felt worse during treatment and no side effects. Take control of your macular degeneration or keep it from ever occurring. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and get armed today.
Planet Earth CBD offers a fast-acting transdermal patch that targets your aches and pains for the relief you need. Not only is the patch uniquely patented, but it is widely believed to provide larger quantities of available cannabinoids to the source of pain than other brands' subpar products. Effective for 24 to 48 hours, experience the benefits of Planet Earth's high-quality transdermal patch. Manufactured by Next Generation Technology in an FDA-registered facility. This pressure-sensitive adhesive delivers rich hemp extract directly through the skin. Be it a neck ache or a headache, you can count on CBD to take off the edge. Go to planetearthcbd.com today to learn more.
You've heard me talk about the chill pill on the show and how effective it is at helping people who suffer from social anxiety or sometimes when you just want to take the edge off to a long, stressful day. Well, listen to this story from Dylan Goutreau.
Definitely takes anxiety away, which I have a long history of having. Started out at 2 milligrams a day of Xanax. That was at 8 years old. And so I stopped using benzos 3 years ago. Extremely difficult. Yeah, so I spent about 3 years trying to find anything and everything I could that would be healthy for me to help with anxiety. Because I'm talking, you know, full bull out panic attack. The chill pill was the first thing that I've found that actually in the middle of a panic attack I can take, and it definitely subsides.
Go to drseeds.com. That's DrSeeds.com. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your first bottle of the chill pill. Check it out. I promise this is one supplement that delivers.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. So now we're going to talk about different types of foods and things that people seem to think are bad for you if you're dieting. What about dairy? What's your opinion of dairy?
Well, dairy, I'm not a huge fan personally of dairy, and I know that some of that, obviously lactose isn't very agreeing with a lot of people, and I think there is a little bit of an insulin response there as well. So I tend to steer people away from it, and myself as well, but some people, you know, like other foods, handle it better than others. I personally am not a big fan of dairy because of lactose.
There's actually insulin in dairy.
Oh, maybe that's why.
At the turn of the century, they discovered that people who had type 1 diabetes and they were able to drink milk and not need insulin.
Because it was actually lowering their blood sugar.
Well, because there's everything in milk that the baby needs, right? The baby doesn't have enzymes yet and doesn't have a lot of hormonal responses and so on, so the mother's milk has to deliver that, human breast milk and bovine breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
So there are hormones in these in cow's milk. They're very similar to human milk, but they're in much larger quantities. So there's probably something to what you're saying there. What about alcohol? I kind of think alcohol is a double whammy. It's not just about calories, but alcohol can act like estrogen. Alcohol blunts the both the production and binding of thyroid hormone. Alcohol to me is like, if you want to lose weight, alcohol doesn't work. But somebody likes to have a drink, maybe. You know, you and I are Italian. Maybe we want a glass of wine or Sambuca one night because we want to feel good about our lives. Where do you stand on alcohol?
I would say I always tell people, like, keep it to one or two drinks on a specific night with their cheat meal if they're going to do it at all. But obviously doing it all the time, I believe there's also an insulin response there as well. And I'm very big on keeping insulin stable. So for me, I totally think it's a negative. And plus, I mean, depending on your tolerance, you can feel like crap the next day. And then, you know, maybe it affects the whole next day as far as cognitive abilities. And then saying, well, I don't feel that good. I'm not going to go train today or do cardio or whatever. So there's a kind of a ripple effect as well from that.
We have a sponsor called Pure Nootropics. They sell a supplement called DHM, dihydromiracetam. It's a derivative of the Chinese raisin tree. This is legit. Like, I drank 16 ounces of tequila one night. I took one before and one after. I went to the gym the next day and trained. This I'm asking the company that reps it to do a study to see if it interferes with protein synthesis, because there's evidence that alcohol can actually negate the protein synthetic response of your workout that morning. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, if it derails the anti-protein synthetic response of alcohol, bodybuilders will be buying this stuff so that they can have a drink and not feel bad about going out and having a drink. And plus, it totally – there's no hangover when you take this stuff. It's really amazing.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So what about go-to foods for you? You know, chicken breasts, broccoli. Like, do you have favorite foods that you would like to see people eat more of?
I would like to see people use a little bit more green vegetables in their diet. There's a lot of people that don't like vegetables. I'm a big fiber person. I think soluble and insoluble fiber is huge, not only on health, getting rid of toxins out of your body, but a lot of people don't understand why I sometimes put a fiber supplement in their plan. There's a lot of bikini competitors, and I really believe if you're taking a good fiber supplement, soluble and insoluble, that you can actually make your stomach more flat, believe it or not. So I think vegetables would be a big thing I'd like to see people eat more of. It's go-to foods. I like to really mix mine up. I really like wish people would really be more open to red meat, lean red meats. And I know that you know an extreme amount about it. We've talked about it. I think there's a lot of nutrients in red meat that you're not going to get in other proteins, and there's definitely a place for it in your diet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Do you make broccoli Robbie?
No, but I have a lot of people that around me that know how to make it good.
I love broccoli.
I just don't have the patience to do it all the time.
I know, because you got to boil it, and then you got to fry it. You saute it.
Yeah.
You
got
to boil it first and then saute it. But it's amazing for people who like bitter greens. Mm-hmm. You know, we grew up, because we're Italian, we grew up eating that as kids. I'm sure you did too. And I used to love it when I was a kid as well.
There was a stuff that we used to eat called manesha, and that was basically seaweed.
Yeah.
Boiled seaweed.
Yeah, see, because your people are from Sicily and my people are from Calabria, which, your people came from an island, and we came from a seaport town. So lots of fish and lots of seaweed. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What are the big mistakes that you see people making when they start their diet?
I would say some of the big mistakes I see is them really not being diligent in the very beginning of the diet, trying to get past the first few days. They really kind of give up quickly. And I always tell them, you know, if you can get past the first 4 or 5 days, you'll get into that rhythm. And I see that they seem like they're really willing and eager and they really want to do this, but then they fail early, they'll miss a meal or they'll do something wrong, and they just need that tiny excuse to push them over the edge, to turn them around and kind of walk away from starting the whole procedure. So I think it's really in the beginning not following through early enough.
How critical is food prep to the success of a diet for anybody, not even a competitor? You know, but how important is it for you to sit down and think about your meals, at least for tomorrow, maybe not for the whole week, or maybe for the whole week? How important is food prep?
I think it's extremely important, especially if you have a schedule that you're going to be away from home for a long period of time, because then it's got that built-in excuse, well, I didn't have my meal, let me stop at whatever, Burger King or Jack in the Box or whatever it may be. So I think that meal prep is extremely important, because you're not going to get caught out in the wild without your nutrition, because then you can find a very easy excuse to make a trip to some fast food joint, you know?
What are good fast food choices? So like, I'll go to Wendy's and I'll order 4 large beef patties, nothing else. That's a pound of cooked beef, or under a pound because it shrinks. Theirs is probably 15% fat. And I don't drink the juice, so I'm not getting the fat. The fat really is rendered off when you think about it. If you had to walk into a grocery store right now, you had no other choice. Maybe you left your food home. What items would you buy? Lean protein, good carbohydrate, good fat choices.
Well, for instance, if I had to eat something and I didn't have a lot of time, obviously, to prepare it, and I just had to walk in and get it, I think one of the great ones is rotisserie chicken right off the bat. One, it tastes great. You got a good protein source. I think for fats, I think guacamole would be good because you're not going to sit there and buy an avocado and have time to cut that up. So you have guacamole. Again, read the labels because some of them do add dextrose, you know, which is basically sugar. So look at it. Make sure there's nothing added to it. And maybe carbs, if it's a, you know, a lot of the bigger chains now are carrying a lot of Ezekiel products. Go get even a loaf of Ezekiel bread or Ezekiel English muffin. I mean, those things are amazing. Flourless bread, and it's a good carb source as well, and that's quick and easy.
What do you think about walnuts? There's a lot of discussion about walnuts. I've been eating walnuts for a long time, but people say, oh, it's the wrong kind of omega-3, which is true. It's not the only omega-3s that your body can use are the ones that are triglyceride-bound, the ones that come from fish, believe it or not. So the omega-3s in walnuts are not necessarily beneficial, and there are some omega-6s and 9s, but I tend to think walnuts are a good fat. Where do you stand on walnuts?
Actually, I have walnuts in quite a few of my plants. I have them switched up with either those or sometimes almonds as well, but I have used walnuts for probably the last five or six years on myself and with a lot of my diet clients.
Yeah, I usually take a quarter cup or I weigh them, 1 ounce of walnut, put them in a sandwich bag, three or four of those. When I do feel like I need a snack and I don't want to go off the reservation, I guess I shouldn't have said that. The Redskins had to get rid of their name. I shouldn't have used the word reservation. I'm sorry if I offended Native American. They should have left the name alone and just put a potato on the helmet. It's a redskin potato. They should have been the Washington Redskins. They should have put a potato on the helmet. That would have solved the whole problem. Like, we're not talking about people. We're talking about potatoes now.
But, what are they calling themselves? The Washington football team? Is that what
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's something very simplistic.
I try not to fill my head with absurdities because there's too many important things in life to worry about.
Yeah.
So can you stay with me through this next break?
Sure.
Okay. I just want to take this. I got to get this last break. And we started late today because we had some technical difficulties. And I got to run these breaks because that's how the show gets paid for. If we bring you good information, please patronize the sponsors whenever possible. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Everybody wants to feel better, be healthier, and happier. If you don't sweat profusely on a regular basis, you won't feel as good as you could. Studies have shown the power of infrared sauna. Infrared penetrates 1 to 2 inches into the body. It helps those with back pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Patients get relief from infrared sauna. The Good Health Sauna has been shown to be an exercise mimetic, conveying many of the same benefits as cardio. There are a lot of reasons people buy a Good Health Sauna, but the bottom line is you will be a much happier, healthier person by using the Good Health Sauna every day. You'll crave it. You'll love it, and it will be the best purchase you have ever made. Good Health Saunas provide commercial-grade saunas for in-home and commercial use, backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. Unmatched customer service and the best financing makes owning one easy and will fit any budget. Go to goodhealthsauna.com/superhumanradio to learn more and save 25% off. Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastries. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carbs, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon. If you suffer from digestive issues like gas, bloating, cramping, even when you're eating healthy, nutritious foods, then you could probably benefit from a high-quality enzyme. As you know, I'm a mega fan of Bioptimizers. They're one of the few supplement companies who I use religiously because their products work. I asked them for a great deal for my listeners, and they over-delivered. Right now, you can get a bottle of Masszyme for free. All you need to do is pay a small shipping fee, and there's no catch, no tricks, no forced continuity, nothing to cancel. They're so confident in their product that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. I'm positive you'll love the results. I strongly suggest you head over to their site to grab your free bottle before this offer runs out. Go to masszymes.com/SHRfree. That's masszymes.com/SHRFREE, all one word. You will automatically get access to your unique coupon code to claim your free bottle, and there's a limit, one per household.
Unlock your potential. potential with the best cognitive enhancement and anti-aging supplements on the market. PureNootropics.net goes the extra mile for the highest quality ingredients, third-party tested to make sure you only receive the best your money can buy. There's no better choice with their money-back guarantee and free shipping. Try their best-selling DHM. Dihydromyrcetin prevents hangovers and helps the liver detox after a night of drinking. Get your DHM and other nootropics and longevity supplements from PureNootropics.net, the purest supplements around.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Bill Toko, and you can go to his website, warroomnutrition.com. You can also follow him on Instagram, at War Room Nutrition. You reach out to him if you want help dialing in your diet. A lot of professionals trust him, and they are rewarded by winning competitions and having bodies that we all wish we had. Two last questions. Sauna. What do you think about sauna? Do you believe in sauna? Do you think it aids in the fat loss portion of dieting?
You know what? I don't know about aids in fat loss, but I know that there's a ton of health benefits to it. So I've listened to I'm not sure if you've listened to Dr. Rhonda Patrick. Are you familiar with her?
Yes, I am.
She's talked extensively about sauna and extending your life quite a bit. So I've actually been thinking about putting a sauna in here in my house, too, because of that. And I know that the infrared is very popular as of late. So I know that there's a ton of health benefits as far as life extension and longevity. So I urge people to definitely look more into that. Now, as far as fat loss, I know I'm not too convinced on the fat loss portion. But I know that obviously you're sweating and people are like, oh, you know, I want to get in the sauna when I'm during prep and you know, you're just getting rid of some water, and you're probably going to get a little bit of a rebound effect, like as in when you take a diuretic, you're going to hold water a couple days later. But the health benefits, I know they're numerous. And like, again, you know, Rhonda Patrick has talked extensively about it, and I definitely trust her opinion and hold it in high regard.
Yeah, I have one at home, and I love sauna. I used to get in the sauna after training and then into an ice-cold shower after that. And it would really, like the rest of the day, I just felt amazing. We have a sponsor called Good Health Sauna that's got a ridiculous 25% off in 18 months, same as cash. And
is that the kind you have at your house or no?
Yeah, yeah.
And you do?
It's infrared. It's a fantastic sauna. Very, very low to no EMF. They don't use any kind of toxins in the wood, no glues and nothing like that. No, you know, it's like they really, really do their homework. They have the best lifetime warranty in the industry. And my audience, if you go to goodhealthsaunas.com or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Good Health Sauna banner ad and tell them that you're from this show, just tell them how much you want to pay a month. They'll put you in a sauna. Tell them, this is all I want to pay this much a month. They'll be like, okay, we'll ship you the sauna next week.
Okay, now let me ask you this question. How is the setup? Once you get it.
Oh, it snaps together really easily. The top literally just drops down on it. The walls snap together. I mean, setup is like literally from the time that it's in the – and it's a very small footprint. A two-man sauna, two-person sauna is a very, very small footprint. You could put it in your bedroom. Like a lot of people are like, well, I don't know where I'd put it. Put it in your bedroom, especially if you have – your master bath is right off your bedroom. But
– no.
What's that?
No special electrical outlets or anything?
No,
like
they're 110. They're 100, 110, yeah. And so
should I call them and impersonate your voice?
Yeah, do that.
I'll just say, I moved to Detroit. Send it over here.
Send it over here now. That's it.
I'll look into that if they're that flexible.
They're flexible. They have a great product. They're easy to do business with. The product snaps together. And it's a selling feature. Like, you leave it behind. You sell the house. You say to the people, look, the sauna stays. Like, because then you just get a new one. This is a good one. So Jennifer Rennie Storing says helps eliminate toxins passively. Yes, sweating does. And Rhonda Patrick talks about the fact that sauna is an exercise mimetic. So it conveys a lot of the same benefits that just taking a good 20-minute walk does. So it's really amazing. I love sauna. I've been sitting in saunas since I was a young man. I think the first time I got in a sauna was probably when I was maybe 17 years old, and I've been doing it ever since. I just fell in love with it.
So have you ever seen what Jennifer looks like, by the way?
No, I haven't. Does she look ripped and
amazing
great?
Amazing athlete. Yeah, we worked together last year when she did the Masters Nationals figure. Awesome.
Jennifer, would you post your Instagram so I can share it with people and they can go and see?
She's amazing, yeah. And I also not only did her nutrition, but I actually – she's in the area and I physically trained her as well. And she is very strong and she does not quit, that's for sure. Awesome athlete.
Where is in the area for you, for people who are watching or listening right now who think that they would love to train, have you train them as well? Where are you?
We're right outside of Detroit in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Okay.
We're just basically, I don't know, 2-3 miles from 8 Mile Road in Detroit. So
I love that
Royal
movie.
Oak area.
I love that movie.
Yeah. So real close to that. There's a lot of good gyms around here. We're very fortunate. And I'm at Royal Oak Gym, which has been there a long time. It was previously a Gold's Gym about 20 years ago. And now it's just Royal Oak Gym. And they have a lot of old Nautilus equipment. As Shelby, my training partner, I know that you know who Shelby Starnes is.
Yeah, another amazing athlete.
Yeah. He refers to it as the museum because there's such old equipment, but it's the best. It's probably the best gym I've ever trained at.
Yeah.
And I used to have Gold's Gym Venice was one of my sponsors when I was skateboarding pro. So I've been to a lot of good gyms. I know about good gyms, and this is a damn good gym here.
So here's a funny story. So my nephew was over last week, and we were talking about you because him and his friend are into skateboarding. And mm-hmm. So now I realize I probably mispronounced your name, but I said, this guy's going to be on my show next week. And they were like, who is he? I said, he used to be like a famous skateboarder. He was like the best in the country. And we Googled, and there are still skateboards being sold with your name on them.
Well, yeah, they're, you know, we just, the last couple of years we've had some come out, different companies contact me and want to do collector editions. So we just had one out. The latest one is a place in Chicago called Character Skateboards, characterskateboards.com. That's where my latest board is at. And the skate park over here, which owns a board company too, Modern Skate and Surf, they put a board out for me. And some of these editions that came out recently have done real well with the older collectors. There's people, it's crazy, that come up to me and, you know, I haven't competed in, I mean, since like, you know, the early 90s in skateboarding, but they still, I mean, they know more about me than me. It's crazy. They really know their
stuff. So how old were you when you were a skateboard champion?
I was just turning 18. Well, I was 17 when I won the National Amateur Championships. And then I turned pro shortly after that, right before I was turning 18. That's what kind of turned me pro, that contest. So I was a vertical skateboarder on the big ramps.
Oh, okay.
Not in the street, which is a whole completely different animal.
Yeah, like in other words, like the half pipe they call it, right?
Gold's Gym Venice was one of my sponsors, and I was so giddy about that because even though I was skateboarding, I was a big fan of bodybuilding. So,
I hope we didn't lose you too long.
Gold's Gym Venice was a corporate.
Okay. Yeah,
and
Who was your sponsor? You dropped out there. Who was your sponsor?
Gold's Gym Venice.
Okay.
And they had brought me in. Actually, I had a knee injury, and they brought me there to rehab. So I was spending my time in Venice. I was living in the Marina Pacific Hotel, which was in Venice, and then I would skate right to Gold's Gym, and then I had access to all kinds of trainers. Chris Aceto was an in-house nutritionist then. He had his own office there.
Wow.
Learned a lot from him. I mean, I met John, your friend, also John Romano there.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
He actually was the first person I ever worked with for a diet, who did a diet for me. Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. So were you featured on MTV or anything like that back then?
I've been in some different commercials, and I've been on numerous TV spots, yeah.
Do you still get on the board once in a while?
Actually, yeah. I was doing it quite a bit more last summer, but I did have a partial tear of my meniscus, and my left knee, so I had took some time off. But the skate park where I live, it's an indoor park, they had built a big vertical ramp, which there's not really many of them around because a lot of it's really based in street skating. Mm-hmm. So when they built that, I was all in and started skating a little bit vert again, yeah.
Is that more difficult to do than, say, like these skate parks, that these concrete skate parks where everything kind of flows together?
Well, it's similar, but this is a little bit different because you're on one set structure. It's not like a big flow run. And this ramp that we skate on in the new skate park, I mean, it's 13 and a half feet tall.
That's my point. You're so high up in the air.
It's very tall. So back when I used to do it as an amateur and a professional, I mean, you know, there's varying degrees of having to be tough. But every day that we went out there and we skated for probably 4 to 6 hours a day at that high of a level, saying the top 20 people in the world doing it at the time, there was a very degree of danger to this. So basically every day, I mean, you could make one slight error and you're 10 feet above a ramp that's 12 feet tall. You're 20 plus feet in the air. One thing can go wrong and you're going to have a big problem on your hands. So it took a lot of balls to do that kind of thing and a crazy mental application to be, you know, that wired in to not make those tiny mistakes.
So we know a lot of extreme athletes, you know, these X Games and stuff like that, they talk about flow. Mm-hmm. Like when you're in that zone where it's like you're just, everything is just working. And do you remember being in that zone?
Yes, I do. And it's, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan has talked extensively about it. And it's just that you have such a belief before you enter the either the bowl or the ramp that you have everything so on lock that nothing is going to deter you from making that run. Now, that sometimes separates people from being a champion, not a champion, because they don't have the commitment to say to themselves, no matter what, I'm making this trip. So what happens is they hold themselves back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I would say, if you took a newspaper and you roll it up real tight and you go to swat a fly, well, think about the person and the human body being that piece of newspaper rolled up and you're smashing it all at one time against a cement surface from 20 feet in the air or on a ramp. That's really what you have to look forward to if you do something wrong. So some people don't want to go to that area, just like in dieting. They don't want to go into that zone or to get to that level because there is big consequences to pay. And if you're not 100% convinced that you can do it, then you're really going to have problems. I mean, I could get on a lie detector test and they would say, for instance, before I made a run for my national championship winning run, and they could say, are you going to fall? And it would be 100% I would pass the lie detector test, no. And no one's going to stop me on this. That's how convinced I was. So I think the power of the mind is just so untapped, and people really don't understand how strong it is. Like, I used to listen to your show back in the beginning, let's say when I started listening, 2008. I would listen, and I said, one day I'm going to not be on the show. What I actually said, Carl, was one day I'm going to know Carl Lenore. And in turn, that would probably bring me on the show. I didn't need to solicit you to come on the show because I knew one day I was convinced that I was going to meet you,
right,
have a relationship with you first, and then maybe it spawned to the show, which it kind of did because, you know, we had a mutual friend that kind of brought us together over an event I had with my heart. But when you're convinced of something so much and you believe it so deeply, the power of the mind, when you put those vibes in that energy into the air, it's like into the ether, eventually it will happen.
It takes that to happen and then to happen again for you to actually trust it too. A lot of people don't trust their intuition. They don't trust, you know, I mean, really, it's an amazing thing. So I have to ask you this question, and I know it sounds like a non sequitur, but it's not. When you were young, did you do any LSD?
No, but I did experiment with some things that were similar to that.
Okay.
Later, a little bit later on, when I was a little bit, not in my teens, but a little bit older, while I was skateboarding.
Okay.
Stuff that could be considered hallucinogenic, yes.
Okay. I mean, because I my audience knows this, and you probably know this too, because I've mentioned it dozens of times, but I did a lot of LSD in high school. And now that I'm understanding a lot of the things I've done in my life and how I could see where an industry was going to go when I was involved in a particular industry. Had a lot to do with it's the same thing as flow state. It's the same thing. It, you know, I'm not saying that I can manifest anything I want in my life. That's not what I'm saying. I have to be 100% connected spiritually and mentally to that idea, and then I can get there. So it's just not, right. I can't just sit down and say, "Oh, I'm gonna get $1 million next week and believe it." Like that doesn't work. It's got to align with your values. It's got to align with your talents. It's got to align with your intelligence. It's got to align with everything. But it's interesting because you're right. You know, riding a motorcycle at very high speeds, if you for a moment doubt your capabilities, you could feel it. The bike's not leaning the way I want it to. There's a phenomenon in riding called object fixation. It's not always an object. It's sometimes it's a thought that you become fixated on. All of a sudden, you feel like you can't. You're not going to be able to do this. Like I got to stop. I'm going to fall off the bike. And it's the belief that you're not going to have that happen to you that carries you through high speeds. And so it's the same thing as like you're talking about, like you're up there in the air. You can't think like, man, what if I fall? That can't even come into your mind. You have to believe with every fiber of your being that that's just not even an option. That's not going to happen.
Yes. And you know, if you really want to get a little bit more technical, when your subconscious brain, you know, it doesn't know the difference between fiction and reality. So if you're continually giving it positive thoughts and inventing phrases that you want to come to pass, you can keep putting that in there over and over and over, and it does manifest. It's really amazing how that works. It really does work. And I used to do that, you know, a lot, and I still do it to this day.
Yeah, that's awesome. This has been a fun discussion. I really enjoyed it. We'll definitely get you back on the air. If you have questions for Bill, send them to onair@superhumanradio.net, and we'll get them back on the air to answer your questions. I tried to cover as much ground as possible, but I'm sure I missed some things. Thanks for being patient today. The show started a little late, but I think we delivered a good show. Thanks for being here today, Bill.
Oh, I've been waiting at least 10 years for this.
And hopefully we'll get together and break bread. You know, I mean, I'd like that a lot. I would like that.
Oh, I would love it, Carl. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And thanks to everybody who watched today and participated, asked questions. Tomorrow's going to be a really good show. We're going to talk about how sodium can actually influence circadian rhythm and the suprachiasmatic nuclei, which means that people who are consuming large amounts of sodium may actually suffer from diseases, not because of the sodium, but because it's making their bodies suffer the same effects as people who work shift work. This is really going to be interesting tomorrow, so don't forget to tune in for that. Please share the show, help someone you know, and help me too at the same time, and we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for being here.
Listen to Superhuman Radio.
There you go. Thank you. All right. See everybody tomorrow. Thank you very much.